SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this going to be?
Moneyline.
Oh, are you kidding me? Humdiddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Rightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Big doings here on a Tuesday afternoon of Moneyline, the best hour of your day. It's Donnie and Kevin right here on Sirius XM Channel 159. Updates, and more updates across the NFL. We're not even officially at the start of free agency, yet everybody is signing left and right. Big names off the board, which includes the biggest, maybe, of the biggest, Derrick Henry. 2 years, $16 million. Only $9 million guaranteed to go to the Baltimore Ravens, who, again, should use a running game in the playoffs. That will help them win. But the bigger picture here is Tony Pollard got almost double, it feels like, than what Derrick Henry got to leave town, and they got Tony Pollard. Make it make sense here. Make it make sense, Kevin.
What were the exact numbers there again on Derrick Henry, Donnie?
2 for 16.
So Pollard got, what, 3 for 24, right?
Yeah, more, but so double guarantees.
I mean, that's not just surprising from what are the Titans doing. That's just surprising from what is... Like, that's all of a sudden, right, when Derrick Henry's like, yeah, I don't know if this is my agent anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that's possible. I told you yesterday that there's kind of some things out there that's left some optimism around Tony Pollard, due to his effectiveness down the last 5 or so, 6 weeks of football that he and the Dallas Cowboys played. But you would think that the big name factor would still check in. Guess not. Baltimore is able to kind of, you know, stand pat and get Henry on the cheap, it appears.
Yeah, and if there was ever a running back that was supposed to play in Baltimore, it's probably Derrick Henry. So an exciting signing overall. We'll see how that works out. They love to run the football. Of course they do. And that certainly is one of those guys that should be able to pave the way to get some extra yards. I like that move. It's exciting. It's fun. You know, the fan base will be fired up. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as they celebrate Derrick Henry coming to town, the Baltimore Ravens losing out to division rivals, Pittsburgh Steelers. How and who? Patrick Queen on the move for 3 years and roughly, what, 40? Looks like $41 million to go to the Steelers, who've always loved, linebackers. They get a really good one coming over in the same division.
Yeah, that's what makes it an even bigger move, is the fact that the Steelers get better as the Ravens get worse on that side of the football. So that's obviously going to excite their fan base some to grab one of the guys off of the Ravens. Roquan Smith is still their guy manning the middle. So in that end, they'll live comfortably, right? But, you know, they would have liked to have kept Patrick Queen out of the AFC North, even if he was going to depart. The other AFC North move that came in was Jameis Winston. Now the backup quarterback with the Cleveland Browns backing up Deshaun Watson, which, you know, is going to put Joe Flacco back out there on the market. And I'm sure to some degree people are like, oh, come on, Flacco, you know, Don Lynn's comeback player of the year. He at minimum, you know, should be a team's backup quarterback. I don't know how Flacco wants to play it. Maybe he doesn't want to sign and he'll wait for an in-season hire. You know, if a quarterback goes down, I'm not so sure. But that's definitely what that Jameis Winston move signifies.
Yeah, and by the way, they had to get rid of Joe Flacco. Like, because Joe Flacco started to win over the locker room and the fan base, you know as well as I do. Number one quarterback makes one phone call to the front office and banishes Flacco. Because, again, it's not that big of a deal. Flacco is never going to be the starter. But that threat of, if I don't play well early, well, let's put Joe in, who led us to the playoffs. That's why Joe Flacco is leaving town. You see it a lot in certain circumstances, Kevin. Case in point. You had a very good backup quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts in Gardner Minshew. You know who the starter is coming back next year. You don't want that rivalry anymore in the locker locker room, which is why he found himself out there with a pretty good deal with the Raiders to try to be their starting quarterback. That's just the way it works here. Quarterbacks can say all they want. They love competition. Starting quarterbacks can't stand competition. It actually irks them, and usually in most cases, whenever you hear this, Kevin, right? Hey, we're going to have a quarterback competition out there. Both quarterbacks lose. They always lose. It's like, this guy stinks. Oh, let's see. This guy stinks, too. Who's the worst of two evils at this point? So they had to get out of town and make some changes. But by the way, the backup quarterback landscape in the NFL, that's the new gold rush here for me. And it makes sense. It used to be in the past, right? You had your starting quarterback. You spent like $1 million on your backup. Just throw some passes, get me some water, and be fine. But with injuries in the NFL the way they are, boy, if you have a good backup quarterback, not to say that your quarterback goes down for the season as the franchise guy, but hey, I got banged up. I got a concussion this week. I'm going to miss a week or two. It's a great position to have. Like, even Marcus Mariota out here finding good money. Jameis Winston finding good money. Legitimately on spots, Kevin, where they have no chance to start, but could pull in like $10 million to be a backup.
Well, but also, too, again, DRS, like, teams around the league, I think, have started to realize that they need to actually value the quarterback, the backup quarterback position. You're a fool if you don't. I mean, look at how many quarterbacks got injured.
Correct.
This year, Donnie. You know, one of the teams I talked about, I remember in real time, was the Cincinnati Bengals when Joe Burrow went down. Now, admittedly, you know, Buddy's name is escaping me, and he played well for a bit. Who filled in for Joe Burrow, Donnie, on Cincinnati?
People Jake Browning, right?
Screaming there. There you go.
Jake Browning?
At the radio.
Yeah.
I think it was Jake Browning. And I know Browning played, you know, better than what anticipated, but you know, there's no reason for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations and an injury-prone quarterback to send out a backup quarterback that they think they have absolutely no confidence in. So if you know, the Jets go out there and get Tyrod Taylor. That's a good move. The Browns bring in Jameis Winston. That's a good move, right? You know, Gardner Minshew is actually going to compete for a starting job, it looks like, you know, in Vegas, and that takes out, you know, a high-caliber name. You know, the Giants just paid Drew Lock. They suck. You know, the Giants are terrible at this. I mean, I'm sorry. That's where I'm landing on a lot of this stuff. All their quarterbacks are garbage. All their quarterbacks. You know, I got to tell you, there's people around here, all right, and I'm going to do this now because it's been on my mind since the Saquon deal happened, that told me to my face I am biased. When I break down Daniel Jones, that's why I'm so hard on the move. The only people who said that to me, of course, were Giants fans. And those same Giants fans owe me nothing but apologies. Hey, my bad, Kev. You weren't biased. You were correct. You were seeing the situation for what it is. My bad on that one. I'm a Giants fan, and I was biased. I was hoping it would work out, and it did not. And it didn't. But guess what? You get a whole nother year of this. Because as you're well aware of, Giants fans, when that deal came out, you can get out of it after 2 years. Because that was everybody's favorite thing about the contract, that you could get out after it after 2 years. So enjoy the Daniel Jones, Drew Lock battle this season.
Yeah, and just to get back to that and, like, to have those laps we can just circle around on, like, they should do, I don't know, like, maybe up in the northeastern corridor, right? You take a look at NYU, maybe a couple city schools, a couple of those northern New Jersey schools, and you say to yourself, let's do a class on this, of how the free market actually works. When nobody wants said product you have, lowball that said product, and you will win. And the Giants are like, we don't care that anybody doesn't want him. We love him. He's going to be our future quarterback. Here's $40 million. He got $40 million a year. This is before the $30 million rise in the salary cap. So if you tax that based on this year, isn't that like $50 million a year that he basically got based on the new salary cap? Unbelievable stuff. The Giants, I did like what they did in free agency here, but my goodness, it always gets back. By the way, Drew Lock should start day one for the Giants at $5 million bucks. How about that? A lot more to go. Stick it right here. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
OT in the A-10, people. Davidson and Fordham go to extras, tied at 61 as we have afternoon college basketball here in the conference tournaments. Central Florida absolutely wasting Oklahoma State, 63-38. I actually thought Oklahoma State could hang around in that game. Notre Dame out early on Georgetown, who I thought Notre Dame would be the better play in that game today. They're up 12-5 early as we wait on the next round of games in the A-10. Obviously, a little bit delayed on that Davidson game. George Washington and LaSalle are next up there. The Big 12 gets underway, Kevin, at 3 o'clock, West Virginia and Cincinnati. But the game of the day tonight, I should say, would be the WCC, Gonzaga, taking on St. Mary's. So I actually think Gonzaga wins that game, but I like the over more than anything in that game at 138.5.
Well, it makes sense. Gonzaga has the best offense in college basketball once again. So there's that. Hope everybody enjoyed when they were on the bubble. They should be a 6 seed or better. So we'll see when the tournament messes that up and they're playing a 1 seed in the round of 32. I was on the Dons last night, and that team was up 8 with about
taking the first half. Why didn't you take the first half, man? Come on. Jeez.
Yeah, there's a few spots actually last night, Donnie, where I could have grabbed the first half, got out of there, and you know, kept it what it is. That team went on a run between the first half, Donnie, in the second half, 7 minutes and 56 seconds of basketball, 33 points. That is on pace, to put this into perspective for people. That would be 165 points over the course of the 40 minutes if they kept that pace up. And you know this, obviously. San Francisco, some people might be like, oh, come on, San Francisco. San Francisco, prior to that game, had a defense inside the top 35 on KenPom. It still sits there at 41st in college basketball. I mean, they absolutely blitzed that team with triples. Ben Gregg, I think he made 4 in the first 3 minutes of the half. So, look, man, a credit certainly to Gonzaga there. And, you know, that number was, I'm still watching it to the very end. I thought St. Mary's will win this tournament here. I'll say this as well. How about, Donnie, that team was plus 125 to win the tournament before it started. Imagine betting that, getting to the title game, and losing value. Like, they're plus 140 or so on the money line there. Gonzaga's power rating is just jumping through the roof here, and it's understandable.
No, it is. They're a good basketball team. I think they're playing good down the stretch. And even though, again, they did not win the regular season, they upended in the final game of the season, St. Mary's. And then they have a chance now to, you know, overtake them technically. And they would get the higher seed, obviously, by winning the WCC. But the one thing that the teams that are looking on the bubble love is, hey, look, Gonzaga, St. Mary's in the championship game. Both of those teams are going to be in anyway. Nobody's stealing any bids if they win or lose, as opposed to like a Santa Clara or so getting into that championship game and actually winning it here. So that opens up a couple of opportunities there. Let me just see. I'm trying to get this this score here in overtime, because I know that might have a delayed number here. Looks like that game is now officially over, and that was Fordham taking down Davidson 71-63 by winning that overtime period by 8 points. So there you go, 6-12 on the season. Fordham 5-10, Davidson. We were going over the numbers in the A-10 this morning. It's funny, like, because you like the usual suspects that are up top. Like, Davidson was like 200-1 or something ridiculous to win the A-10 tournament. Like, in the past, they would have been like a front runner. Same thing with like Rhode Island, who had so many good years under Hurley in the A-10. They were like 250-1 or something ridiculous to win the A-10 tournament. So a lot of new teams getting a lot of shine. But I tell you right now, you know what team I like tonight? Geographically, at the Jim Whalen Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City tonight, Iona.
Come on.
I think Iona wins by 8 or more tonight against Manhattan. I think the matchup is right. Nice. Went over the numbers today. I think it makes sense. I do.
I would be putting a future on them if they offered MAC odds where we are. They just don't. They can't. Like, they'll offer, you know, Big East odds and Big Ten odds, and we'll avoid it if St. John's wins, whatever. They can't offer in New York or New Jersey MAC odds. Because I don't. Stupid. Everyone's from New York or New Jersey, right? I'm just stupid. Like, I don't know. Oh, I agree with that. I'm just saying, like, obviously that you're not allowed to bet on those teams. I would put a ticket on Iona. And I know people think, oh, it's because you went to Iona. I don't know. Probably something to do with that. But listen, there were years they entered this tournament with Clues where they weren't the one seed and they still found a way. I know we're on, you know, a few coaches removed from that. But they spent a good chunk of this season as still the top team power rated on KenPom in the conference. And you're getting a huge number. They're outside of the top five odds, I think, to win it. And it's a team who nobody's gone to the tournament in 8 years. From the MAC, that wasn't Iona. I mean, it's been a very long time. Very long time.
Now, you're telling me you couldn't have put in for a guest credential or a press credential for the MAC tournament? What are we doing here? BWS is going to the Big East.
Yeah, I mean, you can just cough up the $25 and go. What does he need a press credential for? Right?
Where is it? Where do you get to sit, though, with the press? Are you on the baseline, or they just throw you, like, up in the air somewhere?
You want to run it back at Boardwalk Hall or what?
It's a good time. It's a good time overall. So a couple good games. Get close to the court. Cheap tickets here. Get a little something to eat.
Second team, All-SEC Walter Clayton Jr. live in action. It was pretty great.
Yeah. Yep. Big time. Now he didn't want to follow Rick, when they step out in his own footsteps, go back to the state of Florida. Now we'll see if they can make a run to that overall. Do you remember last year what happened the day that we went down to see the Metro Atlantic tournament? What was the big news of the day?
Oh, there was a bit. Well, there was a big. The Panthers traded up for the one pick.
Yep. On the drive down.
How do you remember that?
I do remember that, because I remember meeting in the lobby. Like, did you see what just went down there? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's right. And then the odds didn't know what to do. Didn't they jump Stroud to the favorite, I think?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knew what to do. Even the Panthers didn't know what to do at the press conference after they got it done. Like, hey, you guys just traded up. That's news to us. And by the way, we have no idea who we're going to take. Worked out well. Well, that's a well-thought-out franchise overall, right? Look what they're doing at this point. Usually it's a celebration when you trade up and get the number one guy. Like, let's just say some team gave a couple first-rounders to get Caleb. Like, yeah, we got Caleb. We know who it is. But imagine that. Let's just say it was 1 year later and the Carolina did the same thing. We don't even know who we're going to take number one overall. There's so many choices. We just wanted to get the number one. Like, ooh, this team is just, you know, you don't even know what the hell is going on at this point. That's what it feels like there. But by the way, we're also in the season, Kevin, as I'm watching on ESPN. Bo Nix, pro day, a little bit earlier, or maybe now he's throwing, it looks like. Love that. Love, man. Like, I love so much. Like, I don't understand this point of it. Like, if you're going to have a pro day for me, like, to be honest, Kevin, why does a quarterback throw the football at his pro day? Why? Do you see what I mean? Like, how outlandish is this? Like, bench press 40, do a couple tests, meet with the teams, and be done. Like, because here's what I'm getting at. You see Bo Nix. He's in shorts. He's in a shirt. Obviously, the plays are designed to throw off his arm strength. So I got an idea for teams out there. How about you just say, all right, line you up on the goal line, throw it as far as you can. Oh, look, Nick threw it 68 yards. Okay, we're done throwing for the day. Now run fast. Now run in a line 40 yards. Okay. Bench press, give me a vertical, and take this quick test for me. Like, does a GM show up at pro day, Kevin, after watching probably thousands of plays and hours of tape on that quarterback and go, well, I didn't think he could throw that slant pass on air to a guy wide open. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I guess just getting to see the mechanic. Here's the thing, Donnie, right? I don't know why I'm going to defend it. The team should be able to watch the and on film and see what they see.
I got something for you.
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe they see it, though, Donnie. Like, we're just playing devil's advocate, and they're like, you know what? I need to see this up close and personal, like, if something stands out. But if they're just like, no, do whatever you want. Like, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. It's like, all right, what are we doing here?
All right, let me see. I want to go 2024 real quick here and take a look at this, because I think you're going to get like this comparison. Can you imagine this, Kevin? Pro Day Florida State. Trey Benson taking handoffs on air with no pads on and making cuts.
No.
Like, isn't that the equivalent of what we're doing here? Like, can you imagine that? Like, hey, by the way, we got to get down to Jonathan Brooks Pro Day in Texas. That was lightning. That 70-yard touchdown run that he just had right there, that was lightning right now. No pads, no nothing. Just take the handoff, Kevin, and imaginary spin moves and deeks, and then hit the gas pedal. Tremendous, man. Like, why don't we do that for everything?
Put the pads.
Yeah, what about the kicker pro days? Are we just lining up from 50 yards in shorts and be like, whoa, man, got to take this guy. Looks like he's lights out. Why do we do this for the quarterbacks? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But let's talk some major college basketball. Tournaments are kicking off left and right. Let's have some fun right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
.208's the number tonight, Kevin. Quick little NBA tidbit. Sixers, Knicks.
Oh.
Horrendous performance on Sunday. They go over 208 tonight. They go over the 208. Maxey's supposed to be in the lineup. OG Anunoby back. Both the teams playing on the same court, rested. No travel for either one of these teams. They go over 208 tonight. What do you think about that? Sixers, Knicks.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's incredible. Because not only was that game, horrific. The game prior, Donnie, wasn't much better with Knicks Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game didn't feature 180 points either. I'm pretty sure, you know, 94, 74, something in that ballpark. So one of these Knicks games is going to have to wake up, unless we're about to get a run of Knicks basketball, Donnie, that's going to take one of their totals down to $198.5, which is just hard to imagine.
Yeah, we're slipping on a scary slope, but it's one where I think the Sixers actually get some firepower back, which forces the Knicks to actually score some points. So I think it does make some sense tonight to play that. Yesterday, my best bet of the day on the early line, Kevin, was a bet on a triple-double for Luka Doncic at plus 200. It was between like 175 to plus 200, depending where the people got it yesterday. I was actually scared at the end of the first quarter for a second of how quickly that lead opened up on the Mavericks. So I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But I always know. The job then of the Dallas Mavericks was, once they open up that big lead, is let's just make sure this guy gets his triple-double, gets to the bench. But the Bulls actually won the second quarter before they hit the gas again in the third quarter for the Mavericks and won that yesterday. So probably I went 1-1 in college basketball, 1-0 in the NBA. But tonight in the NBA, not really my focus across the board, but I do like the Sixers and the Knicks game. Did you take a look at anything yet tonight in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, look, so it's kind of just some of the preliminary looks DRS, but this Celtics-Jazz line is suggesting that the Celtics are going to be without how many key guys?
It was expected last night, too, right? We were waiting on yesterday who the heck was going to play. Yeah.
And then nobody missed the game, which was interesting. So I'm really interested to see. I know some people will be, oh, I'll bet it now. And I want to see who gets in and where it settles, because, you know, if the Celtics, like, bench their starting five, I mean, then this line's going to have to flip to Utah as a favorite. I think just that's one of the most interesting lines that we have on the board right now. Also, if Sacramento's full go, Milwaukee might be getting a little too much respect on the road in that game.
They're getting a lot of respect at minus one, being the favorite in that game. Middleton not going to play in that game, obviously. Another interesting one is the Clippers now rested after that. Hey, why do we have to play a back-to-back at like noon at on our own home court, and we can't wait to get to our new arena? They're 6.5-point favorites over the Timberwolves. It looks like Gobert is going to be back in the lineup tonight, but obviously no Karl Anthony Towns. And a low number posted there, 215 as well. So those were some of the games to, you know, sort of take a look at and review at that point. But most of the people looking here towards NCAA action, the high majors underway. And I know there's a couple. The games aren't very good today outside of the Gonzaga game tonight. So teams are going to get started. People are going to bet on games. We get that. But if we're taking a look at the totality of, like, conference play, I do think it's very interesting, because if we do start, let's just go with the ACC. We'll go in somewhat, you know, order here at this point. Let me just see. Did they take that down? I'm looking on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the ACC. They have the American East, so it looks like did they take it down because there's a game in play, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, the reason I wanted to ask you that is North Carolina was the favorite at plus 160, and I remember Duke was plus 180 a couple days ago. Duke was actually the favorite in the ACC, which I didn't agree with, and I think it's corrected now. But there were so many huge, like, I just think it's Duke and North Carolina and everybody else. And what I mean, like, everybody else, and the thing I picked out this morning was the Miami Hurricanes. Again, they stink. They can't win any games, but it's like 90-1. And the reason I picked that out is, like, if they win, like, one or two games, if they could do that against inferior competition, like, that ticket would be plus money. There were outrageous numbers in the ACC, but I don't have those numbers up anymore here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But do you have any thoughts outside of Duke and Carolina?
Yeah, so I played Pitt at 15-1 and Virginia at 19-1, and it's kind of simple. The double buys belong to four teams. North Carolina and Duke are under 2-1. Pitt and UVA are the other squads. I know a lot of people think Clemson will pick off Virginia. Those teams played. Virginia won, and it was on the road. I know it was by a point, but it was on the road. That is one of the few big wins Virginia actually put up on the board on the road, you know, basically all season long. And again, we're looking at 19-1. You know, you take a look at that Pitt number on it. I like the basketball that Pitt's been playing recently. I really do. I think they could beat Wake. I think Wake could be upset by Notre Dame or even a Georgia Tech. And if by chance, like, you, Don, that's the thing, right? Miami. I mean, it's a mega number, right? Win two games, and maybe Miami can win two games. Pitt and Virginia. You know how these odds move, Donnie. I will get value on both of those numbers before they ever tip off their first game of this tournament.
Yeah.
Because by the time they tip off, how many teams will be eliminated? One, two, three, four, five, I think, different teams will be eliminated before Pitt and UVA even play basketball. So just, that's just the nature of these numbers.
Yeah, and some of these teams tipping off. Let me just hit the updated numbers. Did we tip off yet? Looks like 3 o'clock is the first game in the Big 12 today. Central Florida and actually Oklahoma State are playing now. Two teams that I look at and say, oh, Central Florida's not in the Big 12, forgetting they were 77-62. So those numbers are off the board. Notre Dame 32-21 right now over Georgia Tech and a higher scoring first half in that game, which two teams that aren't great on offense by any stretch here. But I was looking at the Big 12 because Houston was the favorite at a +100. One team that felt like a rock during the show was Kansas, was 13-1 when we started talking about the conference. We doubled back, like, I don't know, 2 segments later. They were 25-1 to win the conference, obviously because 2 of their starters are going to be down for the entirety of the Big 12 tournament, and we'll see if they even get back for NCAA action once they get to March Madness. But I looked down the board, and before those numbers really started to shift, like, Baylor had a great price, and so did BYU as chances to knock off, let's just say, Iowa State and or Houston at that point. The only reason why I picked those two teams out because they have the ability to get hot from 3-point range as sort of that de facto, hey, we can blunt the blow of your offense and your defense being better than ours. But did you have any thoughts on, because, like, looking at all the favorites in the high majors, I actually think if you bet all the favorites, Kevin, across the board, you'll make money. That's the way I look at it in these tournaments.
Well, it depends on a bit down to the pricing, but that means you're talking North Carolina, UConn, Houston, Purdue, yep. Arizona, yep. And Tennessee. Right?
Correct. Yes.
Not a single one of those teams is 2-1. So, of those 6, you have to go 4-2.
I think you will.
You have to win the UConn bet. You have to win the, you know what I mean? Because, like, the juice, Donnie, is all short.
Yes.
You probably would go for it.
Because you know what I say that? Because when you say it's less than 2-1, right, it's like, oh, man, now you got to win more bets. But the reason why is because I think those teams are significant. Like, I think North Carolina is significantly better than anybody in the ACC. When I look at UConn, I think they're significantly better. Again, if Kolick doesn't return, it's UConn for me. It really is. Same thing with Purdue in the Big Ten. I don't think anybody's going to touch Purdue in the Big Ten. And Arizona in the Pac-12, where the SEC is tough with Tennessee, no doubt about it. The Big 12 is 12th across the board. But I actually think you can go 4-2 with the favorites because of how good I actually think they are.
I see, it's hard to, so of the favorites, like, if you had to power rank them, right?
Yeah. Like, if you had one pick of those, of the power 6 right there, North Carolina, Houston, UConn, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, one pick in one of those conferences, what would your team be? I already know what my team is.
I think UConn for me.
I actually would go North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. At the +160 price,
yeah.
That would be my bet for best team, best value in the conference. Because North Carolina, to me, again, Kevin, the only threat is Duke. And I don't think Duke is as good as – they're swept Duke. Oh, it's hard to beat them 3 times in a row. No, it's not. They can't wait to play Duke again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on.
They'd love that matchup.
Yes.
Here's the thing on UConn that has kind of sold me, Donnie, with them winning this Big East tournament. It's going to sound a little silly, but is how much they want to. Because they didn't last year. And it makes a difference to Hurley. And when Hurley says he's taking something personal, I really believe it. Like, I'm not telling you that Hubert Davis and North Carolina don't want to win the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you that Samson doesn't want to go regular season, big conference tournament, double up champ at his first year in the Big 12. They all do. But I don't think anybody wants to win their conference tournament. Of the top teams, as much as UConn wants to win the Big East. Like, you know, his dream scenario, Hurley, is playing St. John's at the Garden and making it very clear that MSG is his building. And you know he wants Marquette in the final in a rematch. And Kolick to say he's coming back for the game. And dog walk that team again. Because they're the ones who beat him last year in that Big East tournament. And that motivation is super, super important. And I think that they're going to have it here in this tournament because, to your point, you know, it's interesting. Like, all these teams, like, UConn is much better than the Big East, right? Houston does feel much better than the Big 12. You feel North Carolina is much better than Duke, right? The current advanced numbers don't bear that out, and that's why the price looks the way it does. Like, for Tennessee, Donnie, look, are they the best team in the SEC? Okay, they've earned that. They're not way better than anybody in that conference. Yeah. There's two or three teams on their tier, 100%.
By the way, I'm looking on DraftKings now. Is DraftKings, because I know FanDuel doesn't have some of the teams that have already started off. Where do I find, like, college basketball? conference tournaments on there. Like, I'm trying to just look at some other outlets. It's not March Madness. Yeah, on DK, I'm looking
at
right
futures. Team futures.
All right, so go team futures.
But I'll tell you, I don't know what's going on.
But it doesn't.
With
it just looks like it has the.
They closed up Big East, Big Ten, and I don't know.
Oh, conference winner. There we go. That's what I'm looking for.
Conference tournament winner, Donnie, is what you're looking for.
Yes, conference winner. That's what I have on here. Patriot League winner, Colgate, Lehigh, McNeese.
Oh, they
Big Sky's on here.
Oh, no wonder why I was sitting there without the information I need.
Big East is minus 135 UConn there.
Right, great.
You know what? Let me see, because I want to get down. I need to get down on a couple of these, because I'm talking to myself into bets that I like, and I haven't wagered on them yet. So let me just find a couple here as we get back. It's basketball season, people, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College basketball game's already underway, people. LaSalle out early, 2-0 over George Washington. How about Central Florida closing out Oklahoma State 77-62? That game at 139 points, and it does go over the total. So no thanks to Oklahoma State, but Central Florida doing the damage to keep them over that number. Notre Dame 39-25 over Georgia Tech. By the way, this game was 131 at the closing number, Kevin. Notre Dame is going to blast through 40 points in the first half here. And Georgia Tech's got 25 with about 4 minutes to go.
Wow.
Ooh, boy, odds makers. Tough scene there. Soft rims up there. Where are we playing that anyway, the Big East?
Well,
the ACC.
Isn't it always in, like, what is it, Charlotte? Or is it North Carolina? Like,
yeah, they knock it around every once in a while. I was in Brooklyn a couple times. I don't even know where it's at this point. Sometimes it's in D.C.
No, it is
up down
DC.
There in Charlotte.
Right.
Oh, it is D.C.
Right.
This year?
It
there
is
you go.
D.C. Capital One Arena. Oof.
Soft rims out there. Next game up, it looks like. Let me just put this in chronological order here. West Virginia, Cincinnati, 3 o'clock, about 20 minutes. St. Louis, Rhode Island. That's at 4:30 in the A-10. Louisville, NC State, 4:30. Then you get some of the smaller conferences in there. New Hampshire, Vermont, Canisius, Mount St. Mary, and so forth and so on. Until you get to the night game action, which obviously the big one out there on the West Coast is Gonzaga and St. Mary. So decent little start. These like the appetizer games. Get some fun. You like an edge. You like a side on some of these bad teams. You bet it, but you wait for the games to improve as they go on during the week here. But 3.5-point favorite for Gonzaga tonight, over 138.5 in that game. What are you eyeing up tonight? Did you have any focal point of games here? The Hurricanes, again, favored over BC.
Yeah.
No idea why, but they are.
So the two sides that caught my attention, again, I like St. Mary's, but I am mentally battling the fact that I got beat up last night. But, again, they hung San Francisco. It was just tough to watch it play out the way it did. South Dakota State, though, Donnie, at the 9.5 has also caught my attention a bit there in that Summit League final. College-wise, but you know, I'm just trying to peel together the rest of these futures because I'm not obviously here tomorrow, so I want to make sure I put all these on the board with the conference tournaments. You know, you were talking Big 12. I bet Baylor at plus 650. I know I'm a little late to the number. I know there's people who've gotten better 8-1s, 9-1s, but look, until they fix their price relative to Iowa State's, I'm going to continue to bet this Baylor team here. Donnie, Kansas-Baylor, what is that line? I mean, Kansas is without their two best players. Like, this is college basketball. Like, I don't even know if Kansas makes it to that game because they still have to win a game before they even play Baylor.
Yeah, no, Kansas, that might be just a one and done for them at this point right now.
Right.
And you're talking about, like, the center, and, like, you're talking about your best two scores on a team that already is coming into the tournament, losing 8 games in conference play for Kansas, which is pretty impressive for that feat. And also, what do we always know about Kansas? Bludgeon you on the home court, and like, I don't know if we can even play away. Well, they obviously ain't playing on their home court, and it is in Kansas City, which is usually a stronghold for Kansas, but are their fans even going to turn out at this point? You know what I mean? Half the team's already out, and maybe they get bounced early and aren't really a player as they wind into it. Let's get to the phone lines here, 844-843-6879. Chris calling in from Austin. What's up today?
Hey, man, I good stuff you guys, Kev, DRS. No, I love your conversation about this college basketball tournament. Man, I played hooky again. Mm-hmm. I just really love betting on the college tournaments. And I was thinking when you guys were talking about, Donnie, you say took out the favorites. And Jeff complimented you by coming back with, yeah, UConn, and that coach, Harry, he cares. And they got dogs in him, and his team has dogs in them. And so that would be the top one of the favorites in the big conferences that I would take. Houston don't play well in the conference tournaments. And they've got a couple of guys that are kind of dinged up. I wouldn't be surprised if they left early. So Baylor being on the other side of that bracket be a good play. I did play them at plus 650. Yeah. The Big East doesn't offer any real value. I did play Creighton because I'm probably in love with Creighton right now, plus 400 to win the tournament. But I just let you guys back and forth as far as points to make on how to go with betting these conference tournaments. I took a shot at USC. USC is hot right now, and they just beat up on Arizona, and they beat everybody at the top part of that conference. And at plus 3,300, now it's down to plus 2,000. I got the plus 33. I took a shot at USC. What was another big conference there? Oh, you guys were talking about the SEC and how that conference, like you said, Chad, but Tennessee is, there's not this huge gap. So I took Florida. Florida is one that's beaten all of them. You know, I take the biggest, best value, and the team that's kind of playing hot right now. To me, it's a great conversation, you guys. You guys are sharpening my skills as I'm taking your points, not trying to be too dogmatic. You know, on certain ways, how to bet these conference tournaments, like those unders on those smaller schools and the big arenas have been coming through. But you got to kind of know when to get off of that, too, right? And yeah, man, it's been a good conversation and a good story, man. I just wanted to say that, you know what I'm saying? Good chemistry with y'all. Y'all was throwing it back and forth on how to approach the betting angle, and I thought it was solid.
There we go. Rocking and rolling there, Chris, checking in with us today. There is a lot of fun. I like this week. This week is so much fun to watch. And, of course, March Madness is great on the Thursday and the Friday and the Saturday and the Sunday. And then we wait a couple days, and you get to the Sweet 16. It's all great. But I love this week because it's the last version of like-versus-like competition where I can click that one button on KenPom, and it tells me every single thing I need to know. Next week, you start to say, all right, now we'll get back to those national numbers, right? Like, okay, top 20 here, top 30 there, top 60 here, top 80 here, and you see how it sort of correlates and translates. But I'm going to leave you people with this in March Madness. It's called Take the Points and Pray. TPAP is basically what that is. TPAP, people. Why? Because you need to take the points and pray. That means these teams are good, and you find a game that's 4.5 or 5.5, don't you dare lay that number, Kevin. You better be taking people in the tournament. We're not laying any favorites this year, unless you're laying a favorite, picking a, you know, futures bet at that point, technically. But I will not be laying any points in March Madness, Kevin. I'm taking all the way.
I get it. Because there's upsets. I mean, is it maybe money line and pray, Donnie? Could that apply? Do you think kind of a better ROI?
Two-team money line and pray? Yeah.
Huh.
Take a couple favorites, parlay them together.
How could these two teams lose? You know, I'm paying minus 125. Well worth it.
Now you're going to get, now see, it's a shame we don't have another guy in the studio at the same time. Because I got a feeling that we would be getting like, you know, reverse minus 4.5 when they're getting 6.5. And what do you think about this? You know, they're getting 20. I knocked it down to 6.5.
He can get one or two of them in. That's all it takes, right?
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, we should probably – I think we can let people know. Myself and Donnie are going to be live for the first two nights of the tournament, 6 to 10 in person. Coach James Young should stop by as well. What's that, DRS? The 19th and the 20th? Could that be? Is that right? No, that's not right.
No, the 17th is Sunday. 18th, 19th, 20th, 21 and 22, right? The 17th is Sunday.
Yeah.
There you go. 21st, 22nd. But it was JY going to be in studio?
Yeah.
Now, which seat do I take, though, if we have the three lounge chairs, though? Like, what, do they have to restructure? Because, you know, the sort of dynamics change a little bit in sizes.
Listen, I don't want to blow up the kayfabe, you know, Donnie's tall bit, but you are going to feel short on that day. Have you ever met JY in person?
Yes. Multiple times. Yeah. I've actually seen JY do damage in the studio in person a couple times. Right. He, I think he made some stop-by opportunities there during game-time decisions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's we were going to do football. Yes.
Yep.
So there you go. That's kind of how it's looking. But, yeah, we'll have a lot
of fun. Where else did I see you? Oh, you know where I actually met J.Y. the first time? You know where I actually met J.Y. in person?
No.
NBA draft.
Oh,
Atlantic City.
That's right.
Like we were going to do the show the next morning, so I came over to say hi. It was the first time I met JY live in person at that point. So there you go. People traveling around. The only question is, with the studio, is are we going to have lav mics for that, or do we have a choice of using a little bit more expensive headset, which I don't like, or cheaper headset, which I think is quite fine? Do we have choices now in the studio we can make, or will there be lav mics and that's it?
It feels like it's going to be a wait-and-see approach, DR.
Bang.
I'm looking forward to it, though, man. It's going to be a good time.
No, it is going to be fun. That's going to go by quick. And by the way, because I don't see the what's the time frame we're looking at? Because usually you get a little bit of downtime at dinner, which is actually great. Like, by the time we come on the air, I don't think we're going to be, like, full-blast college basketball games. Yeah, so you can take, like, that first hour to reset, get the bets in, and then the flurry picks up again, like, just after dinner. Like, that 6:35, 7 o'clock time range, and away you go into the night.
Yeah, I think... I don't see. That's the thing. I don't think like that official schedule. No, obviously I know the games haven't. But like, do they already have their placeholders in of what it'll look like? Probably not. Well, also Donnie, it all gets screwed up anyway, right? Because games take long, and then the next thing you know, like stuff just doesn't even start on time. But that's the dead period. I would welcome, like you said, because then we can kind of really set everything up for people. So I'd be more than fine with that.
Usually around dinner, you get a little bit of that downtime at that point. Also, there's late games, which is great because we'll be having that full slate, like that 7 o'clock wave, the 8 o'clock wave, and then we get to set up like that 10, 10:30, 10:35 wave before we get off of the air. So it sort of works out perfectly where you get a couple different chances to reset as opposed to sprint like, oh, wait, we got to talk about this game, about the tip-off there. It's perfect. I think it's a perfect setup from 6 to 10 on Thursday and Friday. So that'll get the tournament off popping as we're going to be live doing special programming all week long, which includes, I believe, Ben and Coach in studio Sunday night. The minute, I guess, Selection Sunday ends, or are they going to go like the start Selection Sunday? Is that like a we watch the Selection Sunday, then we go live, I assume? I don't think they can go live on the air at the same time, right?
No, they might be live at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, because what's that, 5 o'clock? What time is that? It's either 5 or 6 o'clock is the Selection Sunday thing here. Which, that's an interesting show, too, because that's, you don't even really get time to research anything. You're just reacting live, like right away. Hey, let's get to the South bracket. Ooh, look at this. And then the next morning, Ben and I are going to be in studio for the early line, but basically a primer for college basketball, which is going to be nice as well. Long day for the other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys are going to be able to really get into it that morning after, you know, just kind of chance to eye things up. But it also takes a few days for these things to develop. And, you know, the other interesting thing always is we get the bracket, but the bracket isn't set. These 11 seeds go on runs. So it matters who comes out of that game. It just does.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. So, again, we'll see. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to it. Again, we're going to have you covered throughout, no doubt.
Live all the way through. So today, though, interesting stuff. What we have? Iona's still holding at 7.5, so like that. I think they win by 8 or more. Gonzaga, still that 138 minus 3.5. I think they win that game, and I think that game goes over the total. But if I had to say, you know, like, I feel like I'm going to fall into that Miami Hurricanes bracket again. I'm going to get an update that says Nigel Pack is warming up. I'm going to bet the Hurricanes again against lowly Boston College, and they're going to get smoked because, quite frankly, Miami hasn't won a game in basically a month. But I do want to see the – like, I think I'm hot on the ACC. I just need to see those odds get reset. And I wonder if they get reset after the Notre Dame game, though? They probably will, and it won't have any effect. Like, oh, no, it's plus or minus 200 now because Georgia Tech ended up – you know what I mean? It's no bearing. So I don't know why they're down at this point. Stupid.
No. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but it'll open up where you want it. I want to know what you think of this Pac-12 because that's you. Arizona's the strongest favorite for a lot of these books to win a conference tournament. Of the majors, of course. McNeese.
And by the way, I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to find out over the commercial break. Don't you dare tell me the women's college basketball tournament is going to wait an entire week to kick off. Is that what I'm getting right now? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pac-12 basketball action. Arizona, the heavy favorite, minus 155. Two teams in second place. They're around a 5-1 price. Colorado and Washington State, followed by Oregon, Utah, and USC at 20-1, which is a very popular team here. Arizona trying to, I guess, fight for that one line at this point. For me, by far the most talented team, but neutral court. We saw Arizona. But by the way, I don't really take much about Arizona getting smoked the last game of the season. They still should have had a better effort, but we already have it wrapped up. We're on the road. Yeah, we got smoke. Time to refocus in the tournament here. So I don't take much away from that very final game for Arizona.
It matters, though, for the number one overall seed. A lot of spots now have bumped them off that line. So in that end of it, DRS, it's relevant. I would say for USC, you know, it's confirmation that they are playing significantly better basketball at this point in time. The unfortunate thing for them is that win against Arizona put them on the 8-9 line. So now if they beat Washington, they have to play Arizona again. And I think it's going to be really difficult to beat that team two games in a row. You know, the Trojans finally, over the last month or so, lived up to the level of talent on that roster. This isn't a Bronny James conversation. This is about everything else on the roster, okay? And it's going to be too little too late. And we'll see what the fallout is from this season, but one of the most disappointing teams in college basketball this year, and it's almost now more disappointing because it's become very clear the talent is on that roster.
There is a lot of talent in that roster. If it comes together at the right time, they can make a run. Also, as we know, like USC is not like, hey, Kev, let's win two games and off we go into the March Madness tournament. Like, no, you have to win this tournament outright. So extra incentives, as if your season ends, so is your college basketball career. So something worth fighting for to try to get as far as you can in that tournament. The scrap and claw, and all you need is that one upset, because it feels like to me it's a one-horse race. If somebody can knock that one horse out, then it's a free-for-all with great pricing out there in the Pac-12 Men's Conference. College basketball tournaments, the big boys finally underway. Let's see if we can have some success tonight and have some fun. And tomorrow, I'll be on a solo mission. The big man on campus is going to join me to talk even more college basketball. For JP behind the wheels of steel, he's Kevin Walsh. I'm Donnie Wrightside. See you tomorrow on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.